Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. None of us like to suffer. And despite our best efforts to avoid it, suffering comes our way and into the lives of those that we love. The suffering in one form or another is a part of the human condition. You know, from that long-awaited suffering servant described to us in this morning's reading from Isaiah, to Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, Scripture is full of suffering. You know, even national holidays honor those who have suffered for the greater good and that have turned their pain into something of value. You know, we don't like suffering, and still we celebrate and admire those who overcome their suffering and hardships. And we know we can learn and grow from our most challenging situations. You know, we can appreciate this, and at the same time, we try really hard to avoid suffering. You know, God never promised that suffering wouldn't come our way, but God did promise to be with us always, even during our suffering. But wouldn't it be great if the gospel supported an easy life without any suffering? You know, like if the gospels matched our desire to pursue our own goals and live exactly the way we want, doing what we want and getting the results that we want without any pain. The gospels do offer a way to live life filled with God's presence and God's love. And there is no way to avoid those challenges of life or to avoid suffering. So if we're going to take today's reading seriously, we're going to have to make room for God's call in our life. And this call asks us to put others before ourselves and to serve. And there's no promises that this will be easy or pleasant. And in the process, we might suffer. Thankfully, this won't be the kind of suffering that Jesus experienced. Yet for many of us, to truly follow God's call to be a servant is going to require a change in attitude or change in outlook and a change in our behavior. But remember, this is a call from a God who does not delight in controlling us or in placing unreasonable demands on us. In fact, our readings today help us to understand the depth of God's great love for us through Jesus' suffering. But why? Why did Jesus have to suffer? Why did he live sacrificially, giving up everything, even his life? He did it because he loves us, and that is the whole story. So when we come to the realization of the depths of God's loving care for us, our deepest response will be to love in return. Loving, like Jesus calls us to love, will be sacrificial. And there may be suffering while we love, and still we joyfully love because of our own experiences of God's love. I mean, think about the people that were most influential in your life, your greatest supporter or teacher or coach. Think of heroes and heroines, people who have overcome the greatest challenges and made the world better through their efforts. They inspire us to be better, to overcome our own struggles because of their willingness to do so. You know, Jesus' teachings about being great use examples just like those people. You know, people who care for others and who offered their lives no matter the risk or the suffering involved. That's why he uses examples like the good shepherd and the good parent and the good and faithful servant. You know, these roles are not for the benefit of oneself. All those roles are for the benefit of others. And from Jesus' perspective, a good leader is courageous and vulnerable and serves by considering others first. You know, humbly serving is a way to honor God. And humbly serving connects us to something bigger than ourselves. I mean, we become a part of God's redemptive work here on earth. When we humbly engage with God's mission, we live fully. You know, Jesus invites us to pour out our lives for others, to continue his work in tangible ways. Because when we serve and help and heal and forgive, we are bringing God's love to others. You know, Jesus did say, to be first, you need to be last. And to be great, you need to be the lowest, to be a servant to everyone. Now, UCLA coach John Wooden understood this. He said, you can't live a perfect day without doing something for someone who will never be able to repay you. You know, when we follow God's model of service to others, we can have a Coach Wooden perfect day. You know, John Wooden is known for being one of the greatest winning coaches. I know, thank you all the USC fans for being quiet in the pews. But he's also known for being a great man and a devout Christian. He once said, I have always tried to make it clear that basketball is not the ultimate. It is of small importance in comparison to the total life we live. There's only one kind of life that truly wins, and that's the one that places faith in the hands of the Savior. This is what Christian discipleship is about, being of service and bringing God's love to others. You know, following Jesus is much more than accepting a set of beliefs or receiving our own salvation. Being a Christian means to embody God's love as it was expressed through Jesus. You know, we hear that term, we're the body of Christ, right? Well, it means we are God's representative, God's love to the world. And we do that when we serve each other. And then we're also serving God. You know, for our faith to be alive, we have to get into relationships. We have to offer actions of compassion and kindness to others, especially those that Jesus was most concerned about, the poor, the needy, the least in our community, those that are hurting. Being the embodiment of God's love includes all of us. All of us and all of us, our bodies, our minds, and spirits. It's our whole being and it's our whole lives. And like Jesus, we give our whole selves to God and to each other in service. You know, thank goodness God is in us, that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and that God acts through us, because otherwise it would be really hard to choose to live this way, to be a servant and to love. Now in Scripture, the heart is more than the place for our emotions. It's also the place of our entire personality, our thoughts and our understandings. You know, our heart holds what is most important. It's the place that leads all our actions and directs all our choices. You know, it's the center of who we are, and it guides our lives. And that begs the question, what is in our hearts? Is it self-pride or humility? Is our heart full of anger or compassion? Rules or mercy? Fear and control or faith in God? Concerns for our own needs or concerns for others, even strangers? Is it reliance on ourself or reliance in God? You know, as followers of Jesus, we are commissioned to take care of each other and to fully express our gratitude and love to God. We accept this invitation to be a servant. And being a good servant or a good steward for God includes doing works of redemption for all of God's creation. Serving relies on compassion. You know, living with kindness and being generous, thankfully, triggers the reward center in our brain, and it makes us want to do more of it. And when we serve and we're kind and we're generous, we feel more connected to God, and it becomes easier and easier to participate in bringing God's love to others. You know, when we do it, it makes us feel happy. And this way of living, of serving, creates good beyond our own hearts. It can change a community. You know, when we choose to go deeper into our relationship with Jesus, when we willingly move into serving others, we will be able to more clearly see our own blessings. If you want a rich life, share what you have. Share the love and acceptance, the compassion and the kindness that you've received from God. You know, at vestry meetings, we always study one of the readings for the following Sunday. And so this last vestry meeting, we studied the gospel and we prayed about it. We sit in silence for about 5 minutes, then we discuss it. And Tim Mattson, hi Tim, he summed up the conversation very well. He said, if you want to be fulfilled the most, be serving. You want fulfillment in your life? Serve others. That's why our theme for our stewardship campaign this fall is, what's in your heart? Having God in our hearts will lead us to be more Christ-like, and it will guide our discipleship here at Trinity. You know, God's love will enable us to continue Jesus' ministry of love. So I'm going to ask you to take a minute and think of the top 2 or 3 gifts that you've received from God. I mean, you can make a mental list, or if you have to, write it down or put it in your phone. But think of your top 2 or 3 gifts. I see a lot of each other patting each other. Yeah, we are each other's good gift. But take a minute with each one. And I want you to feel the goodness of that gift. And feel your gratitude. And now think of what you are going to joyfully give back to God in thanksgiving for that gift. We should start every day this way, shouldn't we? That we wait. So many of you guys will say, how are you today? Well, I'm vertical. Yes. We wake up. Thank you, God, for another day. Thank you for a bed and a house and clean sheets. Thank you for coffee. And the list goes on, right? Knowing what we're thankful for and expressing our gratitude to God for those gifts makes us more generous. You know, taking care of Trinity depends on all of us sharing our resources, our time, helping each other out, our unique abilities and skills that make a difference, and it takes our money. We don't participate in stewardship here at Trinity only to meet an annual budget. We participate in stewardship here because of God's love in our hearts and our desire to share God's love with others, and to do it in tangible ways. Stewardship includes our annual pledge campaign, And your financial contribution is a spiritual discipline. We ask you to have servanthood in all your life. All. And that is one of the tangible ways that we get to participate in spreading God's redemptive love. So over the next couple weeks, we ask that you please consider all those good gifts you've received from God and how you can respond more fully in your appreciation of these gifts, and prayerfully consider how you can more greatly serve others and God through all the various ministries we have here. You know, join something new, give away your time and your love, and prayerfully consider increasing your financial contribution. After all, what's in your heart? Amen.